You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Good morning to you. Mike McNamara for Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio here on the All Warrior Radio Network. So, I'm curious, how do you intend to handle the change in your life? So, feel free to tell me that. I'm curious. What are you, life's changing, right? American life that is so devoted to going out to dinner. A lot of people going to be ordering out or can you imagine? Anybody who does takeout food, right, going to make a lot of money. Anybody who doesn't, isn't. And so I imagine a lot of people who heretofore have not are going to get into that business. But again, in the blink of an eye, seemingly in the blink of an eye, life changes, right? How is your life changing? How do you intend to cope with it? How will you make it work? So I'm curious about that. So shoot me an email. Let me know. Okay. Shoot me an email and let me know. whenever you're faced with adversity, I think job number one is what? Can you survive financially? And I think what you're going to see is a collision by virtue of the way Americans live their lives. There's a huge percentage of Americans, right, that can't go without a paycheck. And so what happens to them, right? What happens to them as companies who don't have, so if you happen to work for a company with deep pockets and can be benevolent and you can work from home, good for you. If you're an employee, a public employee, right? So if you're a school teacher, schools are going to figure out distance learning, and you're going to continue to get paid, okay, because it's already budgeted, and the money's there, and we're going to figure this out. How about if you're not? How about if you pour concrete for a concrete company that's struggling to stay in business, and they look at you, and they say, hey, man, I would love to pay you, but our business is, you know, our business is done, right? I don't have the money in my bank account to do this. And again, maybe concrete pouring won't be impacted so much, right? Because, you know, we'll kind of go through this and then we'll figure out a means on the job site, you know, to whether we wear masks or whatever we do to mitigate our social contact. But, you know, we take temperatures before we start work in the morning. If you have an elevated temperature, blah, 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 blah. I would recommend, you know, so companies are going to figure out how business can go on because the whole country can't stop, right? And people are going to figure out ways so they can stay in business, so they can pay the people that work for them. But what happens if you work for a company that can't do that? You know, what happens if you're a waiter in a restaurant that decides we're not going to do takeout? You go on unemployment. All right, so unemployment and then what? So anyway, that's job one. So let's assume that most of you, because if that's the world that you're going to live in, then that dominates all others, right? What do? I go on unemployment and I drive for Uber. So I can pay my bills? Can I pay all my bills like that? What happens? You know, do I go to my landlord immediately and say, hey, I'm not going? So, I mean, some people are going to be put in that situation. So if that's the situation you're in, I'm not talking to you. You got other issues. Okay. And maybe at some point we'll do a show about that. So my question is, if that's not you, how do you get through this? Your life's going to change for the next, you know, initially it was 8 weeks, right? 8 weeks of your life being significantly curtailed. Now, how do you, have you set any goals? What are you going to do? So I think that, you know, you got to make a plan, right? I'm going to read these books. I'm going to get back to reading. I'm going to, now with the extra time I have, since I'm not doing this, 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 and this, I'm going to get more fit. Right, I'm going to lose the weight that I said I've been trying to lose the last 5 years. I'm going to take this chance to sit where I'm going to prepare my own meals. I'm going to eat healthier, right? So what are you going to do? Now I'm curious, and I'll share it with everybody. So feel free to write in and say, hey, you know, as I've thought about this, because let me tell you, you want to know what's impacting my life the most? So my work day, I work from home, so my work day is not impacted, right? I come in here, I get up at the same time, I hop in the shower, come in here, I start reading, doing my thing, and, you know, I'm working on a book, I'll get more opportunities to work on that. But in the evening, right, what do? And my daughters are giving me a tough time, like, oh my God, Dad's life is now upside down. And that is, like, I like sports. I don't watch Game of Thrones or NCIS or any of that shit. I mean, I watch sports. There's no sports on TV. ESPN, really? Like, what do you want? You turn on ESPN to watch what? News of the sports world? Right? News of the sports world. So, okay, the NFL draft's coming up, I can tell you that. That's getting a lot of attention. They're beating that to death. But everything else, like crickets, 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 crickets. And so, anyhow, I'd be curious to know if you have a plan. So, yeah, let me know. For me, to me, reading and more fitness. And I'm going to drag Colleen with me. And I said, I'm going to make Colleen do a podcast. And I'll produce that. So so she'll have a life skill. She'll have a no-shit life skill when this is all done. And so I think that, you know, with every crisis, there's opportunity, right? When my grandmother's quote that you all, most of you have heard in your life, you know, when God closes a door, he opens a window. So look for the fucking window. All right. So how do you make it? How do you make it better? Assuming that you're going to be able to pay your bills. And then, you know, to that extent, how are you going to help, you know, people that aren't going to be able to pay their bills? Is there something you can do? Is there a way that you can help? Is there a food bank that you can contribute? Is there some other way that you can help? So, I'm curious. So don't be afraid to send that, along today. On this, St. Patrick's Day. Now, I'm looking for a little bit of Irish music. And you would think somebody whose heritage is Irish would have it. But I'm not so much Irish, right? I'm American, right? Je suis American. But when I was a kid, the song McNamara's Band...
My name is McNamara, I'm the leader of the band. Although we're few in numbers, we're the finest in the land. We play at wakes and weddings and at every fancy ball. And when we play to funerals, we play the march from Saul.
I didn't know. I thought it was, and when we play at funerals, we play the best of all. So I didn't even know the words to this song. But I always thought it was really cool that my family had, you know, my family had a song, right? Nobody has a song. Nobody named Smith has a song. Nobody named Jones has a song. But if your name's McNamara, you've got a song. I thought that was cool.
The drums go banging, the cymbals clanging, the horns they blaze away. McCarthy pumps the old bassoon while
I didn't know what that meant. McCarthy pumps the old bassoon. I didn't even know those words.
It's to play, and Hennessy, Tennessee toodles the flute, and the music is something grand. A credit to old Ireland is McNamara's band.
Now, there's another version of that. I'm not sure if this is it. This might be the same one. It is. So, McNamara's Band. Yeah. So, on this St. Patrick's Day that was, you know, you have parades canceled. And big parades in New York City and Chicago and in Ireland and whatnot. Right, the canceling parades, and you know, this is a big night out in the United States for bars and a big week as we, in the spirit of St. Patrick's Day and Cinco de Mayo and other ethnic holidays, the whole nation kind of rolls out for St. Patrick's Day. But I have to tell you, I've never been, you know, I'm American, man. I'm not. Like, I'm moderately intrigued by, you know, what I'm intrigued by is, you know, my grandfather coming, you know, to the United States when I think he was 16 or 17. He could get on a boat in Ireland, right? Colleen's 16, okay? Right? I mean, she doesn't like to be in a room by herself. he gets on a freighter, right? He gets on a ship in Ireland. Goes to England, and from England goes to New York City, goes through Ellis Island. I mean, come on. I mean, 17 years old, coming to the new world, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, pretty, that to me is the part that I find fascinating is, and then, you know, 2 years later, he'll go back to Europe as a member of the Allied Expeditionary Force and fight in World War One. He'll get gassed. He's awarded the Purple Heart, fights in every major engagement, along with the Big Red One, the 1st Infantry Division, as an engineer, and as a combat engineer. So they did, you know, stuff near, you know, the forward edge of the battle area and what engineers do. So he's a part of that and comes home and goes to work on the railroads. He used to ice trains. And so if you've ever been to a railroad museum, and the one in Sacramento, California is an awesome one, then you'll see, you know, what refrigerated cars look like, how they move produce and things that needed to be refrigerated around the country. And they had slots at the cars I saw had metal slots at the end of at the forward end and the back end of the car, and they dropped rectangular blocks of ice that cooled the metal, and which kept the car cool, and that's how they it was a refrigerated cars. So that's what he did. And World War II started, and he went down to enlist. And the recruiter said, "You're too old for this one, Pops. Why don't you sit it out?" And the story I've heard is that he didn't come home for a few days. He spent a few days at the bar, and he was a drinker. And he spent World War II, you know, servicing trains that came through Sacramento, California. Built him at some point in his life. He builds a home for his family. And, he comes from a single-room, you know, home in Ireland in a place called Lewisburg. And if you see the house that he lived in, it's just a stone house with four walls and a roof. And then there's a little alcove, I think, where his mother and father slept. And so, simple life as tenant farmers in southwestern Ireland along the coast. Comes to the United States. So that's part of that intrigues me. I have other cousins that are very intrigued by the whole Irish thing. For whatever reason, I am not. And so the 4th of July is my day. That's right. Je suis American. But it is St. Patrick's Day. So happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody out there. Changes. Good morning, Mac. My wife is still working, running an office. I have plenty of food, canned elk, rice, pasta, vitamins, etc. I quit going to the gym today. Just don't want to be an extra body there. I quit watching news and selective to what I read. I just ran outside 3 miles, provided her breakfast, so we are making small adjustments right now. Cook at home, exercise outside, etc. Apparently, Tom Hanks and wife were released from the hospital after testing positive. Who knows? Be well. That's from Dave in Vacaville. You are McNamara. You are McNarama, excuse me. I know, that is my name. From Beverly. Good Tuesday morning, Mac. My great-grandmother Cook was a Doherty from Dublin, so I have a bit of the Bellarney in me. Hope you have a productive day. And then there's a picture that has the Irish blessing. May the light always find you on a dreary day. When you need to be home, may you find your way. May you always have courage to take a chance and never find frogs in your underpants. I think that's a bastardization of the Irish blessing, right? What is the Irish blessing? May the road always rise to your feet. May the sun always be in your face, right? And may you be in heaven a half hour before the devil knows you're dead, something like that. Irish blessing. That's the one I remember. Irish blessing. There it is. May you live a long life full of gladness and health. That's not the one I remember. May your troubles and your blessings be more. Here's the one I know. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rain fall upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. An Irish blessing. You know, I've extended that at times in my life. Yeah, in case you don't know it, because I am a bit of a writer, right? May God hold you in the palm of his hand. And may he hold that hand close to his heart. How about that for a little bit of literary license? But the comic version, and the one I like the most, is, and may you be in heaven a half hour before the devil knows you're dead. I think that's funny because the Irish are known for their sense of humor. But I don't particularly see that on any of these things that are suitable for framing. So, yeah. Yeah, may you be in heaven a half hour before the devil knows you're dead is much better, because it is a little bit tongue in cheek, and it is. I think it's funny. I have a. Let me tell you what we're gonna do on the show today. We're gonna do a little Marine Corps heritage. Have you ever heard Ray Davis speak? Answer that. No, probably not. I never had until last night. And so we're going to do Marine Corps Heritage Hour. Yeah, you're going to hear Ray Davis speak. That's right. You're going to hear General Shoup speak. General Shoup, you know what's interesting is in this world of digital, in the digital world we live in, I mean, there's relatively few of these things that are available to the public. And so I looked for them. And I found something I never heard before. It's an interview with General Barrows. It's about 20 minutes. You'll enjoy that. And then I found General Shoup speaking. David Shoup. Shoup. I'm not familiar with the way the Shoup Shoups pronounce their last name. So I probably should say Shoup. Anyway, it's him. Just in about 2 minutes of testimony. He gets vilified because he doesn't believe the war in Vietnam is a good idea. And he says so publicly. And so he's given the backhand of the nation that he served for so long and so well. General Shoup has given the back of everybody's hand. And so you hear him talk about that a little bit, you know, as in his opening remarks. And I said there's only about 2 minutes of it. And again, why? Where is the whole of his testimony about Vietnam and the questioning of him about Vietnam? So anyhow, I lament that. And then I found an interview with General Barrow, and it's done by a guy who's a reporter who does this kind of news thing for people that are from Louisiana, Cajuns, if you will. And General Burroughs, two of the greatest commandants in Marine Corps history, grew up 15 miles apart. Many years apart, but 15 miles apart. And you hear General Burroughs talking about that. But it's a really interesting interview. And the thing about these interviews that are older is that, you know, they're very, it's not like, you sit down and it's kind of this casual interview. You know, when you got interviewed, it was a big deal. Right. So, you know, the answers are very official and whatnot. But you will see a side of General Barrow that most don't see. So we're going to do that in the second hour. I also I'm going to read you an email that I got yesterday, and I got a follow up to it today. Guy essentially calling John Bradley a liar. John Bradley Flagraiser. Bradley was extremely dishonest for not coming clean right away. He knew he wasn't in the picture. He totally dishonored Harold Schultz, knowingly or unknowingly. Well, even that, knowingly or unknowingly, well, doesn't it make a difference? If he unknowingly did it, then he wasn't being dishonest, right? So the story, as I know it, and I'm attempting to get the footnotes. I emailed Mary Reinwald, Colonel Mary Reinwald, who sat on one or two of the Hewley boards, and she said, "I'm working from home, Mac. I could trade. It's on my work computer." And so, anyhow, so she referred me to a friend of mine named Kyle Gentry, who sat on all three boards. But I told, I'll read you the email I sent to Mary, and I'll read you her response. But my recollection is that Bradley gets told, right? You're in this photo, right, Doc? He's recovering from his wounds in Hawaii. When they come and say, hey, your presence is requested in Washington, D.C. And he's like, what for? And they said, you're evidently in this picture, right? And it's this grainy-ass, you know, picture in a newspaper that they have. And he looks and it's like, so what does he remember? Well, I remember being up there. I remember we put up a flag, but I don't, you know, I mean, as far as what I did up there, like, I'm okay. So gets on a plane, flies to Washington, D.C., and he gets told to essentially shut up and color. Hey, this is you, right? Well, I mean, I'm not sure. You know, I can't tell if it's me. And Gagnon says, this is you, Doc. Right? You're here. Your name's been given to the media already. Okay? This is you, right? Okay, if you say it's me. And then in my own opinion, while he's on that tour, and as better and better images are shown to him, right, and he sits there and looks at it, he knows that's not him. He knows on that tour it's not him. But he's been told that, you know, he's got to do this for the nation. And so he does. And so I see Bradley in this impossible place. And here you have somebody emailing saying Bradley's a liar. And the long arc of John Bradley's life from, you know, risking his life on Iwo Jima to the way he lived his life when he went home to Wisconsin and what he was in his community tells you he's anything but that. So anyway, I'm looking for footnotes this morning about that as well. What else? The coronavirus. Yeah. COVID-19. I just finished with the last episode of season 4. I would tell you without a doubt, on your list of things to fill your time as you have a bit of extra time, put Malcolm Gladwell's podcast, Revisionist History, on it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I absolutely, positively, thoroughly enjoyed it. And he does stuff. He did the last yesterday. I listened, I don't know, to maybe a half a dozen of them. They're about 40 minutes apiece, so they go pretty quick. And the intellectual depth is wonderful. And he takes twists and turns that you don't expect, which I come to enjoy. And then it's different as there's four seasons of it. I want to say there's maybe 10 podcasts per season, something like that. And so the last one, he has Thinking Like a Jesuit. And he starts with, of all things that he could start with, he starts with Andy Pettit. Andy Pettit's apology for using performance-enhancing drugs. Which is curious, right? Of all the things that he could start with, he chooses that. And what Pettit apologizes for is using human growth hormone to get back to be able to play. Not to enhance his performance, but to enhance his recovery. And then Gladwell draws a parallel between that and Tommy John surgery. Tommy John, right, had a ligament transplanted in his arm so that he could go back to doing what he did. And Gladwell fundamentally differentiates that between using performance-enhancing steroids to fundamentally change your body to give you an advantage. Okay? So then he takes that and he morphs it into, so he's talking about thinking like a Jesuit, right? Descending to the particular, that standing on principle is really not how you can live your life, but every situation has different nuances that you need to be able to consider. And he walks you through, the guy who invents the birth control pill is Catholic. And he walks you through that story, which is absolutely riveting. Then he takes you to one more story about a young man, he's Hispanic, shot 27 times in New Mexico. And the story about that. And when you first hear that, she shot 27 times. You recoil, like, what did police do? So he interviews the guy who was shot. He interviews his brother, and his brother kind of tells you what they knew as a family and how they struggled for information and blah, 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 blah. And then he introduces you to this guy who's a consultant for these kind of shootings. And he talks about just the delay in the response, okay? And he shows Gladwell a video, right? There's a guy in his home, right? And he's clearly bothered because police have been called and the SWAT team's been called in. So you got all these guys that are armed. And he shows Gladwell a video, and the guy's in his house. He's got a pistol in his hand, and they're yelling at him, drop the gun, drop the gun, drop the gun. And he starts going through with Gladwell how long it takes you to react once he begins to raise the pistol. And he said, listen and watch. You have all these guys pointing weapons at this guy with a pistol, right? And yet he's able to shoot two of them with his pistol down and then screaming at him, right? And before they can shoot him, he shoots two. And he talks about the delay in response of your brain, right? The signal to your hand, right? To pull the trigger. And he talks about that. And so he takes this thing, right, of descending to the particular, which is a Jesuit thing. And he takes you through this incredible, and I'll tell you what, it's wonderfully intellectual and it's riveting and he's good and he's funny. And if you listen to all 4 years of it, all the episodes, which you'll have time to do in the upcoming months, you'll see him progress as a podcaster. You know, he's a writer by trade. And at first, and as he goes through it, there's many, many more voices in it. And he gets much funnier too. And so he puts more and more of his personality into it, which is something that I think most people don't do when they start. I know I was reluctant to do it, right? Mac, you know, you have way more personality than you're putting through the microphone. Yeah, I don't know that my personality should all go through that microphone. And the guy looked at me and said, no. That's the key to it. You got to be you. I was like, I don't think that's a good idea. But, and so I would absolutely tell you to put that on your list. It's called Revisionist History. And he does these deep dives into a whole series of issues. And they're absolutely fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. So I would recommend that to you. And then he brings you back, right? He brings you back to, you know, this incident. And I'll kind of give you a teaser, but I don't want to tell you all of it. But he says, you know, as they go into this kid's mental health history, that his brother had no idea. He told the therapist that he was suicidal. And so he deliberately choreographs, right, his suicide. And then the guy, so he shows Gladwell the video. And then you kind of hear the rest of the story. And then he says, now I want you to watch this. And he shows Gladwell what happens in the aftermath. You know, and he says, watch this police officer. He goes up. They make sure there's nobody else in his car because he's shot. You know, he pulls over, just stops on the interstate in New Mexico. And he's talking on his phone. And he makes sure there's enough cops around that he's going to get killed. And when he gets out of the car, he reaches into his waistband like he's pulling out a pistol. He gets shot in the forearm and the abdomen, which are not life-threatening wounds, right? And as he's on the ground, he attempts to get up, and not putting his hands up, he's reaching into his belt again like he's pulling out a pistol. And he gets, that's when he gets shot more. So, and then he says, watch this. So the cop walks up and rolls the body over, makes sure that, you know, now he's dead. You know, he doesn't have a weapon. And he sees that, and he looks in the car, and he sees there's nobody else in there, and he realizes what just happened. And he walks over to the car, and he puts his head, right? He puts his head into his arm and leans on the car. And he said, watch him. And he walks back and forth. He walks to the body. And you can see he's visually distraught. You can't see it, but they're describing it. And so I think he does a wonderful job of taking you on this intellectual kind of journey. So anyway, Malcolm Gladwell. And I don't always agree with some of the things that he says. But that's okay. Right? You could still, you know, enjoy it as a wonderful intellectual experience, and he's humorous, like I said. So anyway, good morning to you. We're going to check the news here. United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official, and then we're going to listen to some legends of the Marine Corps, voices that I'd never heard until last night. So good morning on St. Patrick's Day. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. And this is dedicated to the proposition that we can all use this time in some productive way to come out on the other end much better, right? We can help other people. We can help in our community. We can make ourselves better, right? But we're Americans. We can get through this stuff. We've been through much more difficult stuff in our existence. So, right, make a plan. Get after it.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly. when the danger is perceptible and the cost of acting are low, the failure to act guarantees that the threat will grow and the ultimate cost will be higher. Every day that goes by makes North Korea a more dangerous country. You don't like their behavior today? What do you think it'll be when they have nuclear weapons that can be delivered to American cities? Do you want to wait till then to act, or do you want to act now?
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check the weather here on St. Patrick's Day. Yeah, currently it's cloudy and 50 in the nation's capital and at the home of Marine Corps Barracks 8th and I, and also in Quantico, Virginia, the crossroads of the Marine Corps. Down the coast, it is raining in 54 at Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune. I should get General Furness on and talk about how, you know, coronavirus is impacting 2nd Marine Division. Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, it is partly sunny and 50 degrees. Camp Smith in Hawaii, cloudy and 69. In Okinawa, dark, cloudy and 60. In Lashkar Gah in Afghanistan, it is clear and 68, so Afghanistan warming up. And early in the evening in Ramadi, it is partly cloudy and 75, so warming up in Iraq as well. At the home of All Marine Radio, partly cloudy, 52 degrees right now, looking for a high of only 61 today. Tomorrow, partly sunny and 63. Rain tonight in the forecast. Rain Wednesday night in the forecast. And on Thursday, rain again, looking for 60 degrees. What in the world is going on? All right. President speaking right now, as is, you know, the president, one of the things the president does is he is not afraid to suck the life out of the, suck the oxygen out of the room by holding forth on the media, right? To me, he will change, you know, the presidency like that. And, you know, before you used to see, you know, Sean Spicer and what was the woman's name? I can't remember her name. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, going down there and dancing with reporters. Don't do that anymore. President of the United States goes out and he lets it rip on his own. And he does it on a daily basis, talks to the American people. And he fights all comers in that cage match. And so whether you like his message or not, you know, one of the things that is undeniable is, you know, he uses what's called the bully pulpit of the presidency, right? Like nobody's ever used it in the history of the nation. And so if you're going to be the president of the United States and you're trying to get your message out there, I mean, I think the message that Donald Trump, the method that Donald Trump has used has been extremely effective. And his defenders would say he has no other choice. As he's attempted to use a media that lines up against him every step of the way, he has no other choice. And you know what? Fair bit of truth in that. Now, whether you like him or not, you can say, well, yeah, the liberal media is telling the truth. Okay. But if you're a fan of his, you're saying, no, it doesn't. It never does. All you got to do is look at the reporting on a daily basis and you see how skewed it is. So anyway, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll check the news. Still no response for the second Iranian militia attack on Taiji. Now, here's the question. Are we refusing to give Iran the Satan that they desperately need? Right? because Iran is on its ass. So, why? Riddle me that, Batman. Why? We have more than enough capability in the region. Okay, why? So, anyhow, we'll come back. We'll check news headlines. And then in hour two, some pretty cool stuff. You're going to hear General Ray Davis. And I'll read you just a little bit of his bio before we do the audio. But he is in the pantheon of heroes in the Marine Corps. You're going to hear General David Shoup. He, a regimental commander on at Tarawa, infamous for something that is carved in the cornice of the National Museum of the Marine Corps, right? Situation in doubt, casualties are many, we are winning. Okay? So, yeah, that's carved in the cornice of the rotunda of the National Museum of the Marine Corps. You'll hear very, very short clip of his. And then you'll hear General Barrow in an interview that was done by a Louisiana reporter. So they talk about Louisiana. They talk about General Barrow's career, and very, very cool. So a little bit of a trip down the historical side of the Marine Corps, and with some of the leaders in the Marine Corps that I would tell you that are certainly in the pantheon of heroes. So you'll enjoy it. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world, leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back. When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
My name is McNamara. I'm the leader of the band. Although we're few in numbers, we're the finest.
Oh, yeah. We play at wakes and weddings. So, happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody. From Nancy. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you and everyone, Mac. By airtime in Pleasantville, it'll be cloudy with scattered showers and 43 degrees. On the way to 47, 28 degrees for the low overnight. Light winds. 5 to 7. Bless you and your work, Nancy. So there you have it. Nancy checking in from Western Pennsylvania. Hold on. Here's another email. Mac, did I hear this right? Somebody's calling John Bradley a scumbag? Yes. 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 I see Bradley as a tragic figure, I think. And again, what I'll do is I'll send this person the footnotes, right? When you see the footnotes and Bradley, you know, essentially gets told to shut up in color. Hey, Doc, your name's out there. The country knows you were in that flag rising. Gagnon's identified you, okay? You may not have the recollection, and that's okay, but this is you, right? And what does Bradley ultimately say? Well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't remember, you know, being in that picture. And then he does what his country is asking him to do. And they go out and they raise more money than, you know, than was ever raised in any war bond tour. And it wasn't close either. And so, but again, you know, as he sits there, he looks at the picture and I'm sure he thought, like, at some point, somebody's going to realize that's not me, right? That isn't me. But anyhow, president speaking right now. Google announced, you know, Google announced that, yeah, we're working on a website. So that's going on. That's happening. And the big thing is generating the kits and, you know, and the sites and all that so people can go get tested. And I think once people can get tested, that's a huge hurdle to overcome. And that's going to take another couple weeks to implement. So anyway, but to me, the bigger question is this, you know, money, right, is money. You know, now there's some people who are going to be able to sustain themselves. There's other people, you know, while we've been on the air, a friend of mine who's a hairdresser in Beverly Hills says today's his last day. So now what? Do you get into the home hair business? I make house calls. I think. So people are going to get into lines of business that they never expected. You know? What else do you do? Do you live off your savings? I guess if you have it, right? If you have it, you know, that's a great option. But at some point, right, you keep going into your savings, you're gonna run out. So, you know, keep working, even if it's part time. So anyway, That, to me, is a bigger problem that will affect. And again, if you follow the United States financially, you know that a lot of people don't have the financial wherewithal to do that. Do not have the financial wherewithal to do that. So it's going to be a big problem. As, you know, as I mean, the whole restaurant business, right? So what don't I need if I'm a restaurant and I'm going to do takeout food? It's like, okay, if I can do 50% of the revenue I do on a nightly basis via takeout, and I have this email list of all these people that have made reservations, and I blast out an email that says, hey, we're in the takeout business, all right? So don't be afraid to come and, you know, and we're still in the food business. What don't I need? I don't need waiters. I don't need busboys. So what happens to them? They all go on unemployment? Well, that's not going to keep anybody in business. And what about their landlords? So as that thing ripples through the economy, yeah, no bueno. No bueno. So the question is, I mean, how long can the nation stay like this? Right? And what is the cost benefit analysis in terms of, hey, if you need to self quarantine. But once we have all these test sites up around the country, which may take a couple weeks, right? And some of the pressure is let out of the balloon, right? Does that mean that if you're not in that demographic that is affected, okay, that you should be able to go out to dinner? You should, you know, there should be places, bars should be open, right? Because if I do show symptoms, I can go down and get a test. But for me and my peers, we're not in that demographic. And so there'll be pressure from employers, from businesses that say, if you don't let me open up, right, I'm going to lose everything I have. I'm going to lose this business, right? Or if somebody doesn't, you know, give me a way to pay my rent, I'm going to get evicted. So we'll see. I mean, those are tough decisions. From Alabama, from the patron saint of post-traumatic winning, from Libby, necessity is the mother of invention. Exactly. That's why Colleen's doing a podcast, because there's a need for it. All right? She's like, well, what'll I say? I said, don't worry about it. I'll teach you. And I said, look, here's what you do. You get the announcements from your school on a daily basis, and you're going to make it fun. And then you're going to interview some people. It might be a student who's doing something interesting. It might be somebody, a teacher that's, you know, that's doing something interesting with a class. It might be an administrator. It might be a coach, right? Right? And you'll make it fun, and people will listen, and you'll help them. Stay connected. She's like, I'm like, that's right. So, no, Libby's right. Necessity is the mother of invention, and you'll see Americans. But again, somebody else said to me, you'd said something yesterday about what is the enforcement mechanism for all of this? Well, that's a good question, right? The mayor orders, right? The mayor orders all restaurants to close, right? And I saw a headline that said, Kid Rock said, my bar in Nashville isn't closing. And you don't have the right to order me closed unless you declare, I think, martial law. So, you know, so what is it? You know, you can suggest that I close, but in the United States, this is a free country, unlike China, right? So anyway, it's interesting stuff. And again, it's one thing to be defiant, right? It's another thing to say, hey, I've got to make money to eat, right? I've got to take money. I got to make money to have a place to live. So we can't just shut down the nation. And I'm a waiter. So, you know, or my friend, I cut hair and my business is closing for, you know, hopefully 2 weeks. Okay. So what are you going to do to make money? And I think, you know, I just said to my friend, you know, send out an email. I'll come to your home. It's going to cost you a little bit more, right? But guess what? You don't have to share that with anybody. Oh, maybe you just created yourself a business. Home hair styling. So it'll be interesting. Let's to the news we go, and then we're gonna do Marine Corps. I love Marine Corps heritage, and I love these things that I'll play to you, because these guys are, I mean, the guys that we'll talk about, you know, are essentially World War II, Korea, and Vietnam era Marines, and you know, they saw three different, very very different wars, and so I, you know, to me they were the icons. Bigger than life human beings in the world that I grew up in. So I'm a huge fan of theirs. Stars and Stripes. White House seeks $850 billion. That's almost $1 trillion in economic stimulus. So who gets it? All right. Now, just know this. Here's another related headline. Camp Humphrey's commander, this is in Korea, warns against complacencies amid the decline in South Korean coronavirus cases. Now, that is, what, 6 weeks, a month into South Korea's more drastic measures that they took? U.S. military bases in Japan adapt to life under the coronavirus threat. So people getting used to it. The Senate passes an emergency bill protecting GI Bill benefits as colleges go online. Here's another attack in Iraq. It's interesting. At the press briefing in the White House, all the reporters, not everybody can attend. The reporters have to be spread out. Two rockets hit training base south of Baghdad in the third such attack in a week. Two rockets struck a training base south of Baghdad where U.S.-led coalition troops and NATO trainers are present, Iraq's military said on Tuesday, the third such attack in a week. The rockets hit the Basma base near the Iraqi capital on Monday evening. The Army statement said the projectiles landed in an area that includes agricultural land and a factory, according to the statement. No more details were provided. A Spanish contingent of the coalition and NATO trainers are present at the Basmaya site. There was no immediate confirmation of the attack from the coalition, and no militant group claimed responsibility for the assault. So, again, very, very... I don't know. Looming large is the fact that no response for the second attack and now a third one. Changes, cancellations, and closures. How the military is fighting coronavirus. Here's another headline. Here's a roundup of coronavirus closures and restrictions at U.S. military bases across Europe. DOD schools on Guam to close amid coronavirus public health emergency. Iran warns the virus could kill millions in the Islamic Republic. Iran might be, I don't know, in terms of the nations hit hardest, Iran and Italy both hit extremely hard. Right? Iran issued its most dire warning yet Tuesday about the outbreak of the coronavirus ravaging the country, suggesting millions could die in the Islamic Republic if the public keeps traveling and ignoring health guidance. A state television journalist, who also is a medical doctor, gave the warning only hours after hardline Shiite faithful the previous night pushed their way into the courtyards of two major shrines that had just been closed over fears of the virus. Meanwhile, Iran's supreme leader issued a religious ruling prohibiting unnecessary travel in the country. roughly 9 out of 10 of the more than 18,000 cases of the new virus confirmed across the Middle East come from Iran, where authorities denied for days the risk that the outbreak posed. Officials now have implemented new checks for people trying to leave major cities ahead of the Persian New Year, which is Friday. Iranian state TV journalist Dr. Afruz Islami cited a study in Tehran's prestigious Sharif University of Technology, which offered three scenarios. If people did begin to cooperate now, Iran will see 120,000 infections and 12,000 deaths before the outbreak is over, she said. If they offer medium cooperation, there will be 300,000 cases and 110,000 deaths. But if people fail to follow any guidance, it could collapse Iran's already strained medical system. The medical facilities are not sufficient. There will be 4 million cases, and 3.5 million people will die. Wow. Update from Camp Pendleton. Catfish Wednesday has been canceled aboard Camp Pendleton. You know it's serious. Now, Catfish Wednesday is a tradition at the Pacific Views All Ranks Club at Camp Pendleton. Pretty popular thing if you work in that part of the base, that you would go down there and eat a little catfish, see your friends. So anyway, Iran's struggling immensely. And again, so let me link this article to the lack of response by the United States and something that yesterday General Kenneth McKenzie said at the end of his press conference. Now, I don't know that I have the press conference still. Let me find it, because at the end of his press conference, he says something really interesting. So give me 1 second to find it. Sort by date, recent, within the past week. All right, here it is. I think. Now,
condolences to the family and friends of the number of recent casualties that we've lost in CENTCOM over the last few days.
General
McKenzie. Two Marines were killed in mountainous terrain in northern Iraq.
But this isn't the part I want. What I want is right at the end.
A particularly cowardly way to fight, but there you go. And so that's how we get to that. So, you know, we're processing that vehicle. We'll process the three remaining rockets, and we'll gain a lot of information out of that that will allow us to further particularize and work on the origins of this attack.
A follow-up, why weren't you able to see these missiles in advance? What if you knew where the warehouses were, why weren't you able to track them and see before they were fired?
Sure. So vehicles, rockets are loaded in these trucks. That truck may have moved around for a month before it was taken to the, because they know we're looking. And actually, I don't have enough ISR to be everywhere all the time. You know, it's a common misconception that we see everything. We see some things really well. But when we see some things really well, that means we pay an opportunity cost. And I see nowhere, you know, I see nothing somewhere else. Just the nature of the business, we juggle that all the time. So possibly this truck was loaded. It may have been hidden around. It was moved around. They are very good at doing this because they know. Like, for example, had we seen that truck, we would have taken action. That's an earlier question about, do you have to wait to be hit? No. If we see the truck, we'll take that truck out immediately. So they know that as well, so they're very cautious. The truck was probably covered until seconds before they set the timer and ran away. So you've got a very limited period of time when it appears as a missile-loaded truck.
have you here, can you just give us an update on Afghanistan and where things are with the beginning of the inter-Afghan dialogue and talks and the prisoner exchange? Anything you can share?
Sure. So I did a lot of testimony on that this week, so I'll just sort of draw on
now,
that.
This is him talking, and I'm going to talk obviously, and this is not what I'm looking for, but Taliban attacks, it's coming up here in a second.
Taliban attacks are not occurring against coalition forces.
And they're not the point that General McKenzie makes is this. Why would these Iranian militias, who don't do anything without the approval of Iran, especially when it comes to the United States, and especially in the wake of the Soleimani hit, right? Why would they all of a sudden be attacking the United States? To what end? Especially on the backside of, you don't really know how President Trump's going to react.
Do the Taliban attacks represent a core strategy?
So the question that gets begged is this.
Are they not monolithic?
Are they looking for the United States to whack something Iranian so that they can rally the Iranian people against the great Satan? So are we simply not providing the great Satan that they want us, that they desperately need? That they desperately need us to provide. And right at the end of this, I think he makes, there's about 2 minutes left of this, and I think
going to be conditions driven. We'll have an opportunity to take a look at conditions as we go forward. And my job and General Miller's job will be to evaluate the military component of that. The inter-Afghan dialogue, as an observer, clearly that has to happen. Clearly, our ability to go down below that level, balanced against our commitment to our key interests in the region, which is preventing the generation of attacks from ISIS and al-Qaeda against the United States homeland and the homelands of our allies and partners. That's what drives our decision on what that force level needs to be. If you have a permissive environment in Afghanistan, you can go much lower. If you have a non-permissive environment where the Taliban is actively pursuing operations against at least the Afghans and possibly us, then you're going to need to recommend a larger force structure. I'll have an opportunity to make that recommendation as the process goes forward. Ultimately, it's not a military decision.
Can I follow up on Courtney's question, Tommy?
Last one. Sir, you said that coronavirus had some impact on Iran's senior leadership, potentially made them more aggressive. I'm curious if you can characterize how permanent that.
Okay, this is, we listened to all that just to listen to this, all right? Coronavirus is impacting the Iranian regime. I'm curious, and listen to the rest of the question and then listen to the response. And to me, this is underneath the lack of an American response. It's the only way it makes sense to me.
Might be, and just what impact you've seen, if you could provide more details.
Well, sure. Of course, death is permanent, and a number of people have died as a result of that in the Iranian senior leadership cadre. So I think it's going to have, in the short term, it's going to make it a lot harder to make decisions. People are separated, they're distrustful, and then there's a lot of public anger in Afghanistan about the mishandling of the coronavirus coming on the heels of the shoot down of the jetliner. So I think those all represent pressures that act on Iranian leadership right now, and that's going to be presumably passing, but again, leaders have died, and those leaders are not going to come back as a result of that. So it's a combination of the two. I think the net effect of the coronavirus and the COVID-19 is that it has increased pressure on Iran's strategic decision makers. Thanks very much.
And so when you're looking for the why behind, you know, these attacks, so is the why part of it? We need to rally the nation. We need the Americans to give us the great Satan so that we can rail against that. Short of that, we're strangling. We're self-strangling. And so American restraint to me, I hope, because sometimes we don't seem like we could do very much right in that region, but I think allowing the Iranians to strangle themselves is the most deadly course of action for them. A few Marine Corps Times headlines. Graduations at Marine Corps boot camps are closed to the public in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic. Parents, friends, and family will be told not to show up. You know, and I'm going to tell you, that's awful. I know it's necessary, but that's awful because it is one of the coolest things you'll ever see. as, you know, they haven't seen their son or daughter in 13 weeks, and they show up and different human being. And so pretty interesting stuff. From 2MEF, operational pause lifted for North Carolina Marines. The operational pause conducted by Marine Corps Installation East to get a handle on what was needed to prevent the spread of the coronavirus has been lifted, a Marine official announced on Monday. On Tuesday, the unit in charge of Marine facilities on bases in Virginia, North and South Carolina, and Georgia will resume limited operations. Nat Fahey, a spokesman for Marine Corps Installations East, told Marine Corps Times in an emailed statement, "We are balancing the need to support 2MEF daily operations and mitigate the spread of COVID-19. To mitigate the spread of the virus, fitness centers remain closed, meetings and events with large groups, gatherings have been canceled or rescheduled or curtailed. List of attendees," said Fahey. "Mission critical facilities, including all medical facilities, chow halls, commissaries, child development centers, and security and emergency services, will remain open and properly staffed. The virus has caused mass cancellation of public events," blah, 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 blah. So getting their hands around coronavirus with 2MEF. The commander and the sergeant major for 3rd Battalion, 6th Marines, that lost two rifles right before Christmas were both relieved. So that is in the news. Another headline, Marines building dozens of missiles that sink Chinese ships. That's in the news. Now, that's one of General Berger's priorities. Another headline, DOD networks face severe strains from telenetwork. So is that an opportunity for people that hate us to compromise our networks and constrain ability to people to work remotely? Interesting. And then the top five stories in Early Bird. And then you're going to hear some Legends of the Marine Corps, which as I said, I thought was pretty cool last night. Number one, here's how the military could help treat and contain the coronavirus pandemic. And again, the American military doesn't really get involved in domestic situations, except with great exception. So when we say the military, what are we talking about? Reserves? Are we talking about the National Guard? So here's the rest of the story. As governors across the U.S. activate their National Guard units to help with the coronavirus response, questions have been raised about how the military could be called in to help with relief efforts. Former Vice President Joe Biden and Senator Bernie Sanders both suggested that they would mobilize units in response, but few details are offered. "They've done it," Biden said. "They have the capacity to build 500-bed hospitals that are completely safe and secure and provide the help to get it done. It's a national emergency. I would call out the military." The reality of the Defense Department's capacity is more complicated, officials told reporters on Monday. The leadership is ready and willing to support in any way they're called on. Still, both in the short and long term, their capacities are not best suited for a pandemic. While the Army Corps of Engineers could physically whip up a large hospital and funnel patients in, the real issue is who would staff it. Quote, "Those are the sorts of analysis weren't going through right now to figure out what we can do," Air Force Brigadier General Paul Friedrichs, the Joint Staff Surgeon, said. "The challenge with that, if you mobilize the Guard and Reserve from their civilian jobs, they're no longer in their civilian jobs." So anyway, that's the National Guard's piece in the solution, right? So it's not as simple. I mean, right, it's easy to say that stuff, right? General Friedrichs goes on, "We do have 10 hospitals. The challenge is they're designed to take care of trauma patients and combat casualties." So again, who staffs these things? So again, not the simple answer that everybody's looking for. Number two, how will the new military travel ban affect you? Ask your chain of command. Number three, U.S. repositioning some troops from smaller bases in Iraq following deadly rocket attacks. So that's our response. So again, I think if you put the tea leaves together, right, the lack of a response tells you one thing. The United States assesses that Iran on continuing down this road with the coronavirus. So here's the data points, right? You have an unhappy electorate. They went to the polls at the lowest level since 1979. The protest in the Soleimani thing turned to anti-government protest as the airliner that was shot down, the Iranian government lied about it. And since the Iranians know how to get the real news, they found out, and then the government had to backtrack. Then they went to the polls in low numbers, right? After they were told a fatwa was delivered saying it's your duty to the Republic to go vote. They didn't. And now you have the coronavirus that was downplayed in Iran. And now they can't get people to stay at home. And by all accounts, on a per capita basis, Iran is the number one site on the planet for coronavirus out of control. So my assessment is the Iranian desk in the Pentagon is saying that there will be more instability in Iran. And if what you're looking for is regime change there, don't give them the great Satan that they're looking for. So we'll ask Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenny about that this week. So, but that would be my assessment here. The All-Marine Radio Intelligence Section assessment. The U.S. military says it's repositioning some troops from a few smaller bases following a deadly rocket attack in Iraq. Operation Inherent Resolve, the U.S.-led mission to defeat ISIS in Iraq and Syria, told Military Times in a statement that coalition troops are being repositioned due to the success of the Iraqi forces in their fight against ISIS. These bases remain under Iraqi control, blah, 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 blah. So we're moving people around. Does that mean we're going to get them out of the window of the rockets? We shall see. Number four, U.S. Army battles skepticism in Congress after Bradley replacement failure. Ugh, man. You know, if you look at the Air Force problem with their new tanker, how can you screw it up this bad? Right? How can you screw it up this bad? U.S. Army battles skepticism in Congress. Here's why the Army canceled their Bradley replacement program. And so you have somebody testifying. And then you have members of the House Armed Service Committee just laying into them. The service faced a barrage of questions from House lawmakers during fiscal 2021 budget hearings over its decision to walk back initial plans to hold a competition to replace the Bradley and start over with a new approach. Army leadership took pains during testimony on Capitol Hill to stress that major acquisition mistakes are a thing of the past, citing the optionally manned fighting vehicle program as an example of the improvement. The Army attempted to hold the optionally manned fighting vehicle, or OMFV, competition to replace the Bradley through an effort that required industry to provide physical bid samples to the service by October of last year. But when only one bidder, General Dynamics Land Systems, was able to produce an actual vehicle by that deadline, it revealed flaws in the service's acquisition process, as well as a disconnect between the Army Futures Command, which is in charge of modernization, and the acquisition community. So you can imagine how that went over at that hearing. It didn't. Number five, DoD networks face severe strains from telenetwork. So that'll be in the news. Next, overseas operations. Military travel restrictions eased in South Korea as virus cases drop. So again, they're what, 6 weeks in front of us? Maybe eight? So we shall see. Number two, Pompeo warns U.S. will act in self-defense in Iraq after attacks on troops. How many attacks, Mike? They've done it three times. We retaliated locally by hitting some ammunition supply points. Woo, 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 woo. All right. Strongly worded statement by the Secretary of State. That's an Obama-era thing, right? And the Bushes. Right? Strongly worded statement and then do the wrong thing. 100 people in isolation as third case of coronavirus diagnosed in Stuttgart. Coalition forces in Afghanistan established quarantine areas and they say no confirmed cases for the coronavirus yet. Here's a couple interesting stories from the Pentagon relative to the coronavirus. Cancellation updates. Marine Reserves no longer will conduct monthly drills for non-essential personnel. Here's financial help for military families caught up in the coronavirus quandary. As military families grapple with thousands of different difficult situations that the coronavirus has brought into their lives, the military relief societies want people to know they can help with financial assistance in a variety of ways. So Navy relief, Army relief, all those organizations, right? So that solution is not coming from the Pentagon, but other nonprofit organizations. Attacks on the DoD networks, I just talked about this, soar as telework inflicts unprecedented loads on the DoD net. Cyber attacks on Defense Department networks increased over the weekend as telenetworking employees put unprecedented loads on the military computer networks. Interesting. Pentagon rejects proposals from military officials to stop training new recruits amid coronavirus response. Another headline. Pentagon's top civilians separated from each other as coronavirus cases in DOD reach 37. This has been a story that's kind of been brewing the last week, but congressional watchdogs are skeptical of the F-35 logistics system. Again, we have years and years and years to roll this shit out, and it comes out, and it's just a shit show. And then there's another story about why you just can't, quote, call out the military to fix the coronavirus crisis. And it takes to task New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who wants the Army Corps of Engineers to build overflow hospitals, with the same response, Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, call them out now. Well, where do the National Guard doctors come from? They come from your hospitals. So there isn't this this untapped reservoir of doctors that are sitting around waiting for the call. It ain't out there. So could they build facilities? They certainly could. Who staffs them? People in your hospitals? You ready for that one? Yeah, I don't think so. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, you're gonna some cool a little trip down Marine Corps history lane, which is awesome. So don't touch that dial. On St. Patrick's Day, more of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. And here's who you're going to hear. You're going to hear General Ray Davis. In the first segment, he talks about going to the Chosin Reservoir. In the second segment, he talks about his Medal of Honor. And in the third, he's given the Georgia Medal of Freedom, I think it is. And he makes a short speech in that. So, Ray Davis. Yeah, all-around baller. The second is General Shoup's testimony before a congressional panel looking into Vietnam. And he makes some pretty pointed remarks about the way he was treated simply because he was not on board with the war. So, yeah, you don't dissent. And then a pretty cool interview with General Barrow from it's a TV interview. And General Barrow, the guy's from Louisiana, and he talked about growing up in Louisiana, why he wants to go back to Louisiana. I didn't know this, and it may have changed. I know it's changed since. But as of, I don't know, maybe 2005, there was only one commandant that was not buried in Arlington, and that is General Barrow, who's buried in Louisiana, the soil of his home. So you're going to hear that. Pretty cool stuff. So don't touch that dial. I promise you, you'll enjoy it. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.